Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
The remains of a 13th century Cistercian monastery have been discovered on a farm in County Meath. The archaeologists leading the dig have described it as quite exceptional and very possibly unique in Ireland. The excavation conducted by Matthew and Geraldine Stout has been taking place on the farm of John McCullen in Beemork in County Meath. And I'm joined on the line now by John and by Matthew. Good evening to you both. John, Beemork, am I pronouncing that correctly?
We call it Beemore.
Ah, you see, there's always a local pronunciation.
Oh, there is.
I thought so. Tell me about, you've known since you were a child that there was something special on your farm, haven't you?
Well, there was a stone building there which had a sandstone window at one end, and it looked unusual. So the story was locally that my grandfather, somebody asked him, should they knock it down 100 years ago? And he said, don't touch it because it was a church once upon a time.
Right.
And then to back that up, my aunt used to tell the story about Mr. Draycott, who got the lands around here, knocked down another abbey over at Dunnakerney and built a big house for himself. And then within 10 years, his wife fell down the stairs and was killed. And his children were all burned in a fire.
Oh dear, that's a pretty miserable account, isn't it? Now, I want to just go to Matthew as well. Matthew lectures in medieval history at DCU. We've lots of Cistercian monasteries in Ireland, haven't we? But this one is significant, unique, we've heard.
Well, there's many, many Cistercian monasteries in Ireland, but this is unusual because it's not really a monastery. They only ever owned the land. This was a farm given to a monastery in Normandy, the Bella Becco, and it's named after Beaubec because of the name of the mother house. But they never had a monastery here. It was just a farm that they used to exploit the area and send goods back to France.
And that's the unique and extraordinary thing about it. They farmed and they sent everything back to France. They looked to France for their leadership all the time.
Well, the Normans weren't that long out of France in the first point, but this was land that was given by Walter de Lacy to this monastery. There must have been a connection between Walter and these monks in Normandy, but it was just like an extension of their business, their agricultural business overseas. It was a international trade route that they established.
But it was never turned over to a local monastery.
No, it was quite independent. It's extraordinary, and we think that could be the only example of this. They were totally independent. They had land from this area just south of Drogheda, right to the sea, and they could go to the coast in their own land and just export their goods directly without having to go through Drogheda.
And what goods were they exporting, Matthew? Was it farm produce?
Sheep. Sheep wool, sheep skins. We presumed they exported grain as well because we're finding the evidence for a grain drying kiln. So we assumed grain is part of the exports as well.
From the best of County Meath land as well. So they knew that.
This is the best of land.
John, as well as being a farmer, you're a very keen historian. You were very anxious to find out what if you like, was lying beneath your farm. And you were quite resourceful about coming up with funds to do that.
Well, we were finding it difficult, Mary, to get funds, so I decided I'd try the FBD Trust, which is a trust fund, and I knew they'd given out a lot of money for research and education. And when I went to them with the case, they said, we'll give it a try. So we got the money for dig number one, and then we've since got a guarantee of next year and the year after. Because I suppose there's an awful lot of farmers who have things out in their fields and don't necessarily know about them.
There's also, I suppose, John, a lot of farmers who don't want to know, you know, because it might disturb the farming or, you know, they don't want. But you were different. You wanted to know. You wanted to write this story.
Well, I wanted to write the story, but apart from the fact that I might be interested in history, I think most farmers generally respect whatever is out there, whether it's holy stones or holy mounds or lone bushes or whatever. And in general, I would have certainly found over the years that farmers respect the thing and they want to look after it.
I know, and there is a lot of respect indeed for the old, I suppose you call them the pishogues as well, around farms and fairy forts and all of that as well, and not disturbing areas like that. So you got your funding from FBT, and then did you find Matthew and Geraldine? How did you all come together?
Well, I'd known Matthew and Geraldine for a long number of years through Historical Things, and I suppose Geraldine had often been saying to me, there's a lot in the literature about this place, more than there is about other places, and therefore she was curious as well. And the enthusiasm of the two of them, plus the group that they assembled, would blow you away.
Matthew, tell us about dig number one.
Sorry?
Tell me about the first dig that you assembled the group, as John says.
Oh, yes, well, the first season. Well, we had, thanks to FBD, we had money to employ some of the best experts, pottery experts, finds experts, environmentalists. And then we had a great group of volunteers that we had taken with us from some of our previous excavations. And it was just a very enthusiastic group of people that did this. We shifted a lot of dirt in the 4 weeks we were down there. We basically found exactly what we were looking for.
Tell me what you found. I know you found a lot of pottery. Tell me what you found that perhaps might surprise you in telling the story of these monks in County Meath in the 13th century.
Well, one of the big things that we found with the pottery was that we found French pottery. We've dug in other Cistercian monasteries and found no French pottery. And this just, from the very first day, we established that close link between this site and the mother house in France. And that was very exciting. Mm. Beautiful green French pottery with a very hard white fabric. Very nice stuff.
John, what was the significance of, was it red earth when you were changing windows or something, you found, you saw red earth, and that triggered
a red sandstone window.
Curiosity in you, yeah.
And I suppose, normally speaking, red sandstone isn't commonly used around here. So when I did a bit of inquiring, I discovered that red sandstone windows and door frames were brought with them. So if it came from France, after a certain period of time, they discovered that limestone was better and they were better to get them made here. So they stopped using the red sandstone, I think, sometime towards the end of the 1200s.
Have we any idea, Matthew, how many monks might have been in County Meath? When did the monastery come to an end?
I don't know the exact number. We don't know about that, but there must have been a few dozen at least that could support this farm, because they would have done the labor themselves. And we know that it was granted to the order just before 1215, because that's what the records show. And then occasionally, every decade or so, it gets re-granted to them. They're very careful to keep their rights to this bit of land.
John, further digs to come, and I suppose the finds from this dig will help secure further funding to continue. But what are your hopes for this location now?
Well, we discovered so much in 20 days that I'm certainly optimistic about finding other things. And certainly the interior of the building would be very interesting to see what would come out of that, and the continuation of the grain drying kiln.
Would you be interested in it becoming a tourist attraction, perhaps having a little museum? You know, have you a bigger picture?
I'm open to bigger pictures, and I suppose I have a son and grandchildren around the place, like, so if they want to become tour guides, I'm not going to get in their way.
All right.
I also say that John is such an enthusiastic farmer. It's the first site we ever worked on that we didn't have to cover it back end at the end of the excavation. So the walls are still there, and they can be preserved and presented to the public.
Wonderful. Well, Dr. Matthew Stout and John McCullen, thank you both very much for joining us to tell us about that.